Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back here on D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 on this Friday afternoon. Home opener night for the Sacramento Kings taking on the Utah Jazz at the Golden 1 Center tonight. Domantas Sabonis, if you haven't heard, is back. He's playing tonight for the Kings, missing just the opener, just the season opener with the hamstring pull. He is back and ready to go. And me and Jesse, and I think Damian feels the same way, he's not here to mess around. The little media scrum he had earlier, a lot of three-second answers. It's time to play basketball. I like that from Domas. I like that.
Yeah, I think everybody knew what time it was if you saw that clip of him on the bench on Wednesday. As that game wound down, they caught a shot of him, and it was like, oh. It was almost it was like the infamous Draymond Green clip where they thought he froze. And he's just like looking forward. He's not moving. It doesn't even look like he's breathing. That was Domantas Sabonis on that clip. He was like, his head wasn't turning to the left. It wasn't turning to the right. It looked like he was looking forward at nothing. Mm. And that was kind of the moment where I was like, oh, I bet he plays Friday. Mm. He's pissed. They got their ass kicked on the boards. No disrespect. It was great to see, but they're running an undrafted rookie out there in the final minutes of this game. And he's sitting there like, we needed this one.
Yeah.
We had this one. We should have won this one. We didn't. All right. I'm coming back.
Yeah. I wonder.
I mean, we knew Friday would probably be a little bit of a stretch. I think a lot of us felt like Sunday could wind up being his debut against the Los Angeles Lakers, and he just decided, like, no, that's not going to be the case.
I wonder if Domas, we've talked about, DeMar. Well, DeMar talked about, you know, being upset by the way that people perceive this team, and Russ came in for a day and was like, yeah, I'm upset mm-hmm. about it, and I'm ready to do something about that. We haven't given Domas enough credit for maybe being pissed off about the way people talk about the team. And look, I'm not going to act holier than now, be pissed off about the way some people, like myself, sometimes talk about him. And him being anxious to get out there and prove the Kenny Caraways and others around the league wrong about who he might be as a player and the perception or the thought of what they can do this year as a team. I could understand Domas being pissed off. I love Domas. I really do. I know it don't always sound like that, but I love Domas. I think he's a hell of a ball player. But he might be like, yeah, I'm sick of hearing KC take shots or something like that, or try to trade me and be ready to get out there.
Or maybe he's not really keen on seeing articles about him contemplating early retirement.
That too.
Maybe that's also a factor. Like, man, what are these dudes talking about? Like, I think we all have ideas on how I mean both fans and media alike, I think we all have ideas on how we think rosters should be constructed. And I will not fight anybody who says this Sacramento Kings roster is certainly uniquely constructed. Mm-hmm. But it's uniquely constructed with a bunch of good basketball players. You just got to figure out a way to make it all work.
Right.
And there were moments, a lot of them, particularly for two quarters. I'd even go further than that, because they just didn't look bad in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the better part of two quarters at minimum, where they look like a good basketball team, they looked cohesive. There was not a question of fit. You wanted to see, I won't even say you wanted to see. Doug, the guy who matters the most, mm-hmm. wanted to see paint touches and threes. He wanted to see segments of a shot clock. You got all of that. For probably you could make an argument. For the first time, even including that fourth preseason game, even though you certainly saw it there, you saw for the first time what Doug had been talking about all of training camp. You know, you saw elements of the 94 feet. Yeah. You saw, elements of the free flowing offense that they wanted to run with specific touch points. You saw all of that in the first half, mm-hmm. and everyone knows like they kind of went away from it. And I think it's easier. I wonder, I should say, if it's easier to stick with a game plan when the game plan is working. Mm-hmm. And when, all right, everything we did in the first half worked, let's get back out there and do it. All right, but running, we got the segmented offense, little paint touch, kick out to Zach LaVine, missed the three. It's all right, boys, let's go, let's run it back. Kick out, throw over to Malik Monk, missed the three. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, We've missed a couple of shots in a row. Okay, I'm gonna try something different. DeMar DeRozan gets the ball, ISO, midi, brick. Okay, all right. Now we just need to get a basket, and you start slipping away, and you try to find a way to calm things, to stop the bleeding a little bit, and it deviates from the so-called game plan. It deviates from the things that were working. In the first half, they're simply not working right now because the shot isn't falling at the same clip, and you're trying to make an immediate adjustment. And the immediate adjustment is the thing that makes Kings fans so nervous. Oh, it's ISO ball. Well, DeMar is traditionally a pretty good ISO player. Right. It's just when that ball lost its energy, his shot stopped falling too. Mm-hmm. And then it just became a stretch where the Sacramento Kings are shooting bad. The Suns started to fill themselves a little bit. They hit a few shots. Now that lead is down to single digits. Now their guys are barking, and now you've got a whole different type of basketball game.
Right.
But the message that Doug had preached and that the guys had echoed during a lot of training camp and through the preseason, we were able to see it. It's just what's going to happen, and this is going to happen more times than not, where what's your line, Casey? Like it's the law of averages. If you're shooting 65% in the first half, just the game says you're not going to do that again in the second half. Mm-hmm. But are you going to shoot 50, 48? Because if you do, you're probably winning that game.
Right.
Or are you going to shoot 30? And they couldn't find the balance between the two dramatically different halves in that first game.
And the flip side, RIP, the flip side damn to shame. All that is...
Flip side, got invited to the poker game.
Oh, damn. They took him out back.
Took him out, yeah.
The Suns couldn't make a three to save their life in the first quarter, or in the first half. Well, they might finish the game 3 of 27. We've seen it happen. But with guys like Grayson Allen, with guys like Devin Booker, Royce O'Neal that can shoot the three ball, you would think they're going to start hitting some more in that second half too, right? So they're whatever they shot in the first half is probably going to go up to some degree in that second half. And that's kind of what happened there too. So we were talking about new addition during the break. Can you stand the rain? Can you stand when things aren't going the way that you want them to, or the way that you projected them to, or the way they went for you in the first half, and still be able to have a game where you come out on top and you're winning games and you're finding other ways to win those games? That's the challenge sometimes for this Kings team. And I'm interested to see what type of team we see tonight, man. Is this a team that is locked in on the defensive end again like they were in that first half? And like I think they were in the fourth quarter. I know people, you know, disagree and go back and forth with me about that. I don't think like all those possessions in the fourth quarter were bad. I saw some physical defense from that Kings team in the fourth quarter. They just weren't able to make enough shots and get enough stops to win that game. But if they bring the defensive intensity that they had in the first half and the fourth quarter for four quarters tonight, they're going to win this game, because I saw some good stuff from them defensively in those moments in Phoenix.
Do you have a concern in you meaning Kenny Caraway, you meaning in the chatty house, you meaning anyone listening, that this is in fact a feast or famine team? That what we saw Wednesday is what this basketball team is. It's going to be the first half. It's going to be the second half. And there will, by law of averages, be a few games in between. But more times than not, it will be a game like we saw in the first half or a game like we saw in the second half.
That's a concern for sure. Is that, and I know that's not what we're asking right now, but is that who I think they are today? I don't know. But to your question of, are you concerned? Yeah, absolutely. Because you got some streaky shooters on there and you got some streaky performers on that team.
Yeah.
Even somebody like Zach LaVine, who I've been talking about it during the breaks a lot, but I did this reaction video to the Suns game opening night. And I made a comment while I was watching the highlights and stuff like that. Zach LaVine might be the most frustrating player maybe in the history of the NBA. He is so unbelievably talented. He is so talented. He is almost made out of a factory with what you would want a basketball player to be able to do. Handle, jump out the gym, shoot the three, super athletic, unbelievably talented. But he's so frustrating because sometimes he'd just be coasting. Or if the shot isn't falling, he'll duck away a little bit and not force things a little bit. And you're concerned. Are we going to get first half Zach LaVine or second half Zach LaVine? You know, Dennis Schroeder. Who's the real Dennis Schroeder? He was kind of iffy in that first quarter in the first half, really showed up in the fourth quarter. And that's Russell Westbrook is the walking embodiment of this. Which Russ are you going to get from game to game? And you got so many guys like that on the team. Malik Monk is like that as well. That's got to be a concern for this Kings team. Like, which one are you getting from game to game? Hopefully they find a way to be a little bit more consistent than their track record has shown as individuals, and can bring that together as a team to be more consistent and even keeled, and make sure the floor is a little higher than what it is normally for some of these guys.
We saw what it looked like. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers have the Houston Texans this week. We've learned there's no Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall again in that game. Diamador Lenore, who I mentioned earlier, thanks to Bonte for clarifying this. He's listed as questionable right now. They got a handful of guys that are out. But we saw what the immediate return did, of George Kittle did, for Christian McCaffrey, and the way the San Francisco 49ers, we think, generally want to run the ball. Do the Sacramento Kings have a player like that? Do the Sacramento Kings have a player like George Kittle? Or let me rephrase this. Could Domantas Sabonis be like George Kittle and be a guy who comes back and unlocks a different element to the Sacramento Kings offense? And if so, who's the Christian McCaffrey in that scenario?
Yes, to your first question. And I think we were off air when we talked about this, but James Hammond's talked about it. We've talked about it before in offseason. It might be Zach LaVine. Like, if you get Domas in there in that two-man game with him and Zach LaVine, We saw that in the preseason. Those were the only two guys that were really doing anything offensively in all four. Well, they didn't play the last game, but in the, well, Sabonis didn't play the last game, but in the three games they played together, those two were the ones that were having the offensive success. You saw some of the pick and roll game that Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis were able to start getting comfortable with. Zach might be the Christian McCaffrey to Domas's George Kittle in this situation. Because I think DeMar is going to do things regardless. You might say Malik, but I still think Malik is kind of on his own. And while Zach is too, I think they pair up really well, though. Domas and Zach LaVine on the offensive end. And you can get Zach so many more open looks with the two-man game, with the way that Domas passes, maybe Zach cuts and all this other stuff. I think that could be the answer to that question, Zach LaVine being that Christian McCaffrey type.
The funny part about that, I think it's important to point out Zach LaVine was really good on Wednesday in the first quarter. Could Domas's presence have helped him? Hey, I got a couple of ideas. Let's hit this DHO right here. Let's see if we can find you some different looks than you had there in the first quarter. Of course, Wednesday's game is different on a multitude of reasons if Domantas Sabonis is there. But even if you just went with the most basics, that Zach LaVine is hot in the first quarter, that Zach LaVine is hot in the first half and not in the second, it's fair to pose the question of what would Domantas Sabonis have been able to do after a couple of missed shots, after a slow stretch for Sacramento. What would he have been able to do to not only get Zach LaVine going again, but perhaps also Malik Monk, who kind of cooled off there a little bit in that second half? Was there something that Domas could have done to help get Keegan Murray some different looks there in that second half to where he could have got rolling again? To get somebody, could Domantas Sabonis have been the key for somebody to get those, for someone to get not even hot, maybe just warm in the second half? Someone who just could have helped them shoot above a 31% clip or whatever that second half percentage was, and thus those shots help slow down what Phoenix is doing on the other end. And those leads don't disappear so quickly, especially when you go back to, you know, that we highlighted it a lot yesterday, and I think rightfully so, that stretch from near the end, the final 4 or 5 minutes or so of the third quarter into the first 2 or 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, the game was, we were looking at a completely different basketball game to where the Kings went on the offensive to, they were getting pummeled in the corner, and you're wondering if the ref's going to stop the fight. Like, it shifted that quickly for them, and it felt like they couldn't find anybody to slow it down for them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Barrett Bryce in the chatty house asked a question. He asked it and kind of got an answer as we continue to talk more, but I still think it's a good question. He says, Casey, do you think Malik can be Christian McCaffrey? Malik and Domas play really well together in the two-man game. And we kind of mentioned Malik, but I thought, so let's just say everybody is doing about what they do. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis, Schroeder. Nobody's going crazy, but 22 for DeRozan, 22 for LaVine, 17 for Sabonis, 14 for Schroeder. Everybody doing what they do. If that unlocks Malik Monk to like go crazy, it makes the team different. Like when Malik is kind of how he was on Wednesday or super six man Malik, it makes the Kings different. And maybe by virtue of that observation, maybe he is the Christian McCaffrey. Maybe he's the one that can elevate them to potentially being a good team if he's unlocked and playing at a super high level. You know what I mean? Does that kind of make sense? I mean, outside of like what we talk about with the emotion of the arena, if you got all that stuff going on, but Malik is 9 of 15 for 19 points, 21 points, I feel like the Kings win. I feel like they win if he's doing that.
You feel like they win, period, or you feel like they win Wednesday?
Period. Like I said, everybody else is doing their normal stuff. Nothing spectacular, but still solid. Zach, DeMar, Domas, Schroeder. Yeah. But Monk comes out of nowhere and gives you 19. Yeah, they've beaten a lot of teams.
I'll take that and ask, in that situation, though, you need a guy. Is the guy DeMar? Is it Zach? Is it just one of those two? Is it Domas? Do you have to have a, in that scenario you presented, do you have to have a 25 to 30 point, a 24 to 30 point score for that 19 from Malik to have the same impact?
It doesn't feel like it. Like I said, if DeMar's got 22, Zach has 22, Domas has 17, and Schroeder has 14, and now Malik comes out of nowhere and is giving you almost 20, feels like you got enough. But that in the event that those other guys aren't going crazy, Malik picking up for that and having – because normal a regular game for Malik might be 13 points, just throwing out a number. Mm-hmm. But if all of a sudden he's got 21, oh, yeah, that picked up the slack. And – The intangible things that we can't even really put a number on, the feeling that I think it gives that team when Malik is cooking feels a little different than if you don't know he's out there.
Understood. Nah, understood.
Does that make him McCaffrey? Does that give him that type of McCaffrey feel?
I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know. Like it gives him a.
I don't know who else to compare him to on the floor. Would he be Juwan?
Yeah, I don't
Jennings?
Either. Like I'm trying to because
Juwan, like when Juwan is cooking and got 100 yards, like the Niners are cooking.
I think the scenario you're presenting, yeah, I guess that does make him that does give the impact of Christian McCaffrey in the scenario that you presented, and perhaps it gives DeMontis Sabonis the George Kittle role in that. The thing that I'm thinking so much about is prior to Kittle's return, McCaffrey was playing really well, mm-hmm. and the 49ers were winning football games. The tough part about this exercise with Sacramento is we've got one basketball game, and that's what we're trying to work off of. We're working off a singular basketball game in which DeMontis Sabonis didn't play, but Keegan Murray didn't play, but you got really good performances from DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine. I thought Dennis was pretty solid, and obviously Malik Monk is terrific. If that's this is one of the most tantalizing things, and I'm going to go yes. I'm going to go yes. This does work, because if Malik is what we saw Wednesday regularly, he's in the sixth man of the year conversation again. And if Malik Monk is that regularly, and he's in the sixth man of the year conversation again, the Kings are winning basketball games. I don't think Malik is doing that, especially off the bench, and the Kings are losing.
Right.
We outlined earlier one of my biggest concerns going into tonight's game, based on what we saw in the Utah-LA game, the Utah-Clippers game, is their bench, the Utah Jazz bench, absolutely lit Ty Lue and his group up. And I think I can't remember. I think it was like 53 or 54 bench points. Mm-hmm. If that happens tonight, the Kings are cooked. Mm. They don't have, especially with the absence now of Nick Clifford, the absence of Keegan Murray. It's great Isaac Jones is back. It's wonderful that DeMontis Sabonis is back. You're already pulling some firepower from your bench to help that starting lineup a little bit. You can't give up 53 points to their second unit. And they've got some ball players who aren't afraid to shoot. They've got some ball play. This is probably the beauty we joke about. You joked yesterday about the handoff, the annual Utah Jazz good start. Right. They ain't got a care in the world. Like, what do they got to lose?
Right.
They don't have anyone who needs to focus on minutes. Hey, we're playing basketball. We're just throwing our guys out there. He's going to play 23 minutes. He's going to play 24 minutes. We're just adjusting on a night-to-night basis. Those guys are just living carefree. Right. And eventually, it, at least in the past handful of seasons, it's caught up with them. Would really love for it to catch up with them tonight.
Yes.
But if that Utah Jazz second unit is cooking at that level, the Kings are going to be in big trouble, because they just don't have the firepower to match that, unless you're getting that performance that you just laid out from Malik Monk and a high performance from Keon Ellis, which we spent the last 2 days saying is probably going to be really difficult if Malik Monk is playing that way.
Yeah. Now there's no Neat though, too. So that might.
So that opens things up for. That's a good point.
Potentially.
That's a good point.
129 points for the Jazz. In that opener against the Clippers. Yeah, I don't know if you can give up 129 again. But here's the other thing about this Kings team tonight. Drew Eubanks will put Maxime Raynaud and Dylan Cardwell. 7 points, 5, 9 rebounds. 7 points, 9 rebounds from the center position. On Wednesday night. Yeah, Domas should be able to exceed that. You know what I mean? Like, Domas might give you 20 and 13, not to mention the assist that he gives you as well. And I bring that up to say, yeah, I don't think you can give up 129 and beat this Jazz team. But you got 116 the other night with those guys playing well, and you got nothing from the center position offensively. Maybe you can get into a shootout with these guys, but I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. You want to limit that bench production as much as possible. Like, you can't have Sensabaugh getting 20. Like, you don't want to have any 20-point per game or 20-point score coming off the bench for the Jazz tonight that's going to be tough, even with Sabonis coming back with his production.
Which is probably the same thing they're saying about the Kings. He scored 19. You can't let Malik Monk go for 20 tonight.
Mm. Yeah.
If we keep Malik Monk from going, if I'm Will Hardy, that's what I'm telling them. Like, if we keep Malik Monk from going for 20 tonight, we're in great shape. Mm. They don't have the depth to do this. Shout out to Securin. And forgive me, brother. I'm just noticed the name change. Securin to Carter.
I didn't see this either.
Securin Carter.
Does that count as a nickname?
He does. You know what, man?
Hold on.
You know what? Hang on, Securin. We're gonna get to that. Go ahead, Casey.
Securin to Carter. No, I was just about to ask. Like, we get him when we come back.
Yeah. We'll talk. Securin to Carter says, why does it have to be Malik or Keon? Give all Russ's minutes to Keon. I'll tell you why. And a very weird observation. When I was doing some research on Devin Carter this morning. Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yes, indeed. Back here, D'Lo and KC, winding down the week on this Friday afternoon. A major, major sports Friday night here in Sacramento. Sac State taking on Montana at Hornet Stadium for the Panda Bowl. We'll be in attendance. We'll be checking that out. Also, if you're still trying to go, Quavo performing after the game, that's going to be fire as well. And then, of course, the Sacramento Kings kick off their home schedule tonight at the Golden 1 Center against the Utah Jazz, man. It's a jam-packed Friday night.
What's the weather tonight, man? How do I need to dress for this game? Does a hoodie work?
Hoodie works. Hoodie works. You know, it's going to be a little chilly. Because from what I hear, it's not going to rain tonight, but the rain should be coming like in the middle of the night. So that means
it looks like it starts tomorrow morning. Well, at least in Rockland, it starts tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock.
So it'll probably be a little, don't think it's going to be windy and chilly out there, but yeah, a little hoodie. You know what I mean? Layer up a little bit. Layer up.
Maybe hoodie, jean jacket. We'll see.
Okay.
What do we think the crowd's going to look like tonight? I mean, it's opening night of Kings basketball. That's a ticket, though. That's a tough ticket, and it's a pricey ticket. What do we think it's going to look like over there at the football field?
They got 20,000 last Saturday. I do not expect 20,000.
I mean, that was homecoming.
That was homecoming.
Like, everybody was there.
Yeah. I think more than I probably even realized, the Yachty component was brought people out.
Sure.
And I think Quavo had that same effect on this game. So I'm not expecting 20. I think at the end of the day.
But homecoming is bigger than Yachty. No?
Homecoming is bigger than Yachty. But the combination of the two, I think, got you to 20. Like, if one was there and not the other, I don't think it would have been 20. Like, I think if it was just homecoming, you're probably looking at like 15. I think you get like 15 tonight. The one thing they've been doing a good job, they've been hyping the hell up out of their home schedule. Like, come out here, see Sac State football. And it's worked. So I think they get about 15 tonight. King's home opener is a massive, massive draw and massive number one, right? But 90% of them students on the campus don't care about the King's home opener. They're like, yo, football games tonight on Friday.
They afford it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I say about 15. That's my projection, which is a really good crowd for them.
Okay. It'll be a good night either way, man.
Hopefully we could see the beam on the way home.
That would be spectacular.
Yes.
Going Sunday. Be really nice to light the beam on Sunday. I think I'll be there till the end of the game.
So okay, let's go. End of the game, D-Lo. Post-game show with D-Lo. Let's go.
You know, post-game show, I ain't working. I'm leaving, but still. Of course, last time I said that they were trailing by like 20 and I left. Let's not do that. I was able to jump in a little late on the handoff today. I was kind of sitting in the studio. I didn't want to distract you guys, but I saw you shift from just a subject about DeMontis Sabonis to Keon. And as I was listening, I was like, oh, this is a fresh topic. This is a perfect opportunity to jump in. And I think there's a lot of things that, you know, we can discuss with James Hamm, because I thought we had a pretty interesting discussion with Matt George yesterday regarding Keon Ellis and how, you know, he thinks the organization does not see Keon Ellis the way that the fan base does. Not that the organization does not like Keon Ellis, not that the organization doesn't love Keon Ellis, not that the organization doesn't want Keon Ellis in a Kings jersey for the long-term future. It doesn't appear that the organization is enamored with Keon Ellis and feels that he needs to play 30, 34, 35 minutes a night. And we started to speculate on that. At various points during this offseason, we certainly picked up that at least the previous regime wasn't super high on Keon Ellis. You know, after that stint stretch with when Malik went out, Malik and Herter were out. You know, we thought Keon played really, really well in that situation that he was put in, and it became clear as that offseason went along that maybe Monty McNair and Mike Brown didn't feel the exact same way. Not that they didn't think he played well, not that they didn't appreciate it the way that he played, but they just kind of saw it as, yeah, he got an opportunity to play. Like, he did good for what we asked him to do. We're not expecting him to be someone who takes us in a certain direction. I don't know that that's how Doug feels. I don't know that that's how Scott feels, but given the status of his contract situation, given what we saw a little bit during the preseason and given what we saw on Wednesday, I am starting to form, you know, I do think it's fair to continue to bring up the question is like, all right, maybe fans just fell in love with this undrafted, hardworking, solid defensive guy, hits threes. He's a guy who makes the most of a lot of his opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I don't think his opportunities will be limited this year at all. I just think all of his opportunities depend on what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. And securing the Carter, which for those who haven't caught on to this,
there's not a good track record with that securing label. Like, I don't think any of them have stayed.
It's been flawless. He had, I think, if I remember correctly, did we have securing the Barnes? I believe we had securing the Monty.
Yes. Yes.
I don't
100% success rate of getting the person out of here.
I don't think I know securing the Bagley's real name.
No, I know I don't. No.
And I know he's been at games. I believe he's been at games. He's flagged us down. I have no clue what his name is.
No.
But whenever he adds a different name at the end, he doesn't miss.
It's over.
So we've got securing the Carter now. And he says, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, I just mentioned it. So many of Keon's opportunities might be dependent on what everybody else is doing. And we used game one as an example. Dennis was playing pretty solid defensively and shooting well in the second half. Obviously, LaVine and DeRozan were playing well. LaVine, not so much in the second half, but we did speculate, and that's all it was, that Doug might be more likely to lean on those two veterans than he would someone like Malik Monk. If Malik Monk wasn't necessarily having a good night, maybe that's where we see Keon run for a longer stretch of time than he did in the first game. But Malik was playing well. And there's always the hope with the guy who is hot during a game that they can find it again and get hot during a stretch where it matters the most. And securing the Carter asked, why does it have to be Malik or Keon? Give all of Russ's minutes to Keon. Well, I guess the only way you could do that is if you're running Keon and Malik at the same time and having Malik handle ball handle responsibilities. But I don't think Doug Christie nor anyone on the Sacramento Kings like that. Russ was brought in for a reason. Malik played, I think, Malik played the point guard on Wednesday, the de facto point guard, I guess, for maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes in the first quarter before Russ checked in.
Yeah.
So it's not that he didn't do it at all. He just didn't do it for very long. And I think that was probably the minutes plan that Doug had going into the game. I think there's always going to be minutes for Russ. And on Wednesday, they happened primarily in the first half. Keon's minutes, I think Keon played 7 minutes and some change in the second half. Russ didn't play a ton in the second. So, like, I think it really boils down to Malik and no one else. Maybe a time comes, and again, this is very, very, very early in the process. Maybe we do see a Russ DNP. Maybe we do see Russ single-digit minutes. We saw that in Denver. There were points last year where in the season, there were a handful of points. It was more early in the season than later in the season where they started to rely on him pretty heavily after a couple of injuries. But there were times last year where, yeah, Russ would play 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. He didn't play a ton. That could wind up being the case here in Sacramento. I don't know if we get as far as DMPs, but if Doug is still searching for something, I think it's possible. I just don't know that Keon's opportunities create themselves.
Right.
I think they're created by what else is happening in that backcourt.
Right. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. Like I look at Keon and I see a really good basketball player. I don't know if I see a player that's better today than any of those guys that are playing minutes in front of them. And some would probably say Russ. I think there's things that Russ does that's really good that Keon doesn't do, and vice versa. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think Russ is a good rebounder of the basketball. He's a better facilitator, initiator of the offense. Obviously, Keon is a better defender. He's a better shooter. You know what I mean? So it's not just outright, oh, Keon is better than this guy. It's even based on a number of different categories. I don't think Keon is better than Malik Monk. I don't think he's better than Dennis Schroeder. I don't think he's better than Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan. And now you throw in Nick Clifford into this situation where Keon's probably better than him today, but that's your rookie who has looked impressive and does a number of different things. And I'm not saying that absolutely Nick is better or should be playing more minutes, but that's once again just another factor into Keon's minutes and another deterrent potentially from Keon playing more minutes, a guy like Nick Clifford. So I know we talk about the roster construction and things like that, and I get it. Part of me feels like it's just kind of an unfortunate situation more than just roster construction. Just kind of an unfortunate situation.
After, you know, spending what feels like now 2 days making that point about Keon, I am happy to make a counterpoint and play the other side of this argument. Maybe, and it's early with this current administration, if you will, maybe it's too early to say this, but maybe they aren't the best talent evaluators. I use the example of, I'll use a couple examples, Trae Young being an example. I don't know how serious, in depth, or even real the discussions were between Sacramento and Atlanta regarding Trae Young. But the one thing we were told by multiple different people, pretty emphatically, Scott's not a big fan of Trae. Okay. Well, I disagree with Scott in that regard. Something I heard separately, independent, really has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings, just using it to add to the discussion, is I did hear that Scott Perry wasn't a big fan of Jalen Brunson either. He didn't think very highly of Jalen's game. We have some semblance of an idea. Of course, it got a lot of attention when he was hired, of what he thinks about Zach LaVine's game. There's a pretty direct line of commonality between those three players. Trae, Jalen, Zach LaVine. Those are all very high-level scorers, and that is what they are known for. Mm-hmm. Trae, I thought, you know, Trey's been a very good point guard in his time. He was a terrific point guard last year, but somehow Atlanta's failures continue to fall on him. And perhaps Trae is one of the rare guys in the league. And so he catches the heat when his team doesn't do well, while it's crystal clear this current version of the Atlanta Hawks is the best team that he's played with. Having stepped on the floor one time so far, like in terms of the roster, this is the most full constructed roster I think that Trae Young has had as an Atlanta Hawk. And the funny thing is, when you look at Trae, Zach, and Jalen, none of those guys are like Keon Ellis, which posed me to ask the question: what type of player does Scott Perry like? If the thought is, yeah, maybe this front office doesn't love Keon as much as everybody else does. No, this front office doesn't love Trae Young. They don't love, not related, just an independent conversation. They don't really like Jalen Brunson in his game. Podcast comments about Zach LaVine. What type of player does this front office like? Like, what exactly are they looking for? And you go to those pillars, you go to those what it takes to be a Sacramento King that Scott Perry is happy to repeat in any conversation or media interview he does. You can look at them, and while I haven't memorized them like the rest of the media here in Sacramento has, I do know whenever we read through them, well, all right, I get it. Trae probably doesn't fit that. Yeah, I get it. Even in, you know, yeah, Jalen doesn't fit that. God, man, it sure feels like Keon does.
No, he does.
It feels like he does.
He absolutely does. I think I think Scott Perry, how do I put it? I equate it to like kind of the running joke or the feeling that we have like about the way that I look at players, right? Like if you ask anybody to listens to the show all the time or comes on the show all the time, what kind of player does Kenny like? Oh, he just likes scoring first. That's it. And that's the thought process, right? But it's not actually true. It's not actually like the scoring player, I believe, is somebody that you have to have there. I feel like it gets dismissed and, you know, oh, you just give me five guys like Lou Dort and that's how you win basketball. No, you need somebody to score 25 a night if you want to win a championship. Like you can't dismiss that. But people think that that's what it is, right? So you look at Scott Perry. I bring that up with Scott Perry. You talk about those players that Scott Perry, quote unquote, wasn't a fan of. But then you look at some of the guys that he did get, and they brought him up in the chat. I was thinking about him when they were bringing up Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett are what you would think score first guards. Quickley is also like a smaller score. He's like you know how I feel about Trae Young, so I don't want to be disrespectful to him, but he's almost like a Kirkland brand version of Trae Young, like a small guard. Doesn't really quickly actually defends better than Trae Young, but that's he's getting $35 million a year. And Scott Perry was the guy who drafted him and looked at him like that. So I wonder if we look at some of the guys he doesn't like, we look at Keon, and there maybe isn't necessarily a preference there. It's just a little situational. And he looks at a guy like Keon in this aspect. I like his game. I like what he brings to the table. But I don't know if I'm willing to break the bank for him. And I don't know if this is the place for him with the guys that are in front of him. As I brought up the issue to James earlier, I want to know what you think about it. Say DeMar's gone and Zach's gone. You know, that's what everybody wants. DeMar gone, Zach gone, and you get to play Keon everywhere. I think you're still looking for DeMar and Zach. Like, if you want to be a winning team, you don't slide Keon in there and be like, yo, it's good. You're still looking for almost 50 points a night that you got to replace.
You're still looking for your stars, but can Keon Ellis fill a role, though, in that starting two spot where you find your star somewhere else?
He can fill a role. I mean, he can. To answer your question, he can.
Because, yeah, he is a 40% three-point shooter who plays, I mean, really good defense in the 13 minutes he gets. I'd have to imagine if you gave him more time, I mean, that'd only get better.
I love Keon Ellis. It sounds like I don't. I don't know if his role, I don't know if he can elevate his role in this league outside of where he is. Like, now you want to start Keon Ellis.
Yeah, I'm not saying like you need 20 a game from Keon or whatever, but if you're getting 10 to 15 from Keon Ellis because he's knocking the three ball down at a decent rate, like he shoots well, he just has no time.
10 to 15 is asking a lot for him.
10 to 15 what?
Points a game. Points per game?
Oh.
That's.
But in how many minutes is it really?
He was at 8 last season in 24.
He was at 8 points per game in 24 minutes per game?
Yeah.
10 he can get to. 15. 15 seems like a stretch. 15, there's so many different ways. I believe at least you got to score the basketball to get to like 15, 20 points per game. That I don't know. I think Keon is a spot-up shooter. And he can do some stuff as far as slashing and when people close out, 1-2 dribble, hit your floater and finish at the rim a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe I'm like Scott Perry and Doug Christie. I really like him. I don't know if I see him as a starting guard for a team that's trying to be really good. I want him on the team, though.
Let me ask a follow-up from our buddy Matt George, Locked On Kings. If the Kings were, in fact, trying to move on from Malik Monk this offseason, and there is a mountain of evidence to say that they were, And let's just say hypothetically it was for Jonathan Kuminga. We could do whatever we want to, but let's just say, because that was the most popular one, let's just say Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that by default open up a lot more room for Keon Ellis?
Yeah, it feels like it. Absolutely.
So maybe it really does just boil down to roster construction. And when you build a pecking order or a depth chart, Keon remains at the bottom of it because of what DeMar, and I know this infuriates Kings fans, but what guys like DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Malik Monk can do. Mm-hmm. Now, take Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder out of the equation, because we know they, the Kings, don't like Keon in that role of trying to bring the ball up the floor and facilitate the offense. It's mm-hmm. not what he's best suited at. And this goes back to the Neek and the put Neek here, put this person here. It's like, no. Put them at their position. Give them an opportunity to excel at what they do best. Don't ask them in their first big minutes to go out there and do something unnatural.
Right.
So don't put Keon in a position where he has to do that. Put Keon in a position where he can succeed. Maybe Keon is just a prisoner of the depth chart. Hmm.
That, and I think that's more the situation here in Sacramento. And that's why I said earlier, this situation, and whether or not the players are the players that we think, maybe that's the thing. Like, it's just not the best situation for him right now. Not that he can't play or he's not valuable.
You feel good about tonight?
I do. I think we see the beam tonight. Yes. Kings win.
Okay.
And I would love for them, when I talk to you on Monday, I'd love for them to be 2-1-1. I need that. I need that win against the Lakers. I need Luka looking crazy. I need that.
Yeah. Let's put Kyle Mattson in the front row of that game just to get under Luka's. Let's get Kyle Mattson one of those Kenny Caraway seats.
My seats.
Let's get him one of those Kenny Caraway seats to get under Luka's skin and get called out his name once again. Either way, it's a big night in Sacramento sports, man. Stingers up. Light the beam. We appreciate you guys for being with us. Hit the thumbs up before you go and make your plans to be here to recap it all. Beginning Monday morning at 10 a.m. with the insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings. Light the beam. Stingers up, baby.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.